Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So today we revisit our conversation on U.S. tax policy and discuss how the election outcome might influence how investors handle their capital gains and some options to consider. So joining me here on the line this morning for the conversation, pleased to welcome back Dan Scansaroli. Dan is the head of portfolio strategy for the Americas, as well as Justin Waring. Justin is the investment strategist for the Americas, both with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Dan and Justin, welcome back to Top of the Morning. Looking forward to our conversation, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. We're always happy to be here.
Absolutely. And I do want to point out up front to our listeners and especially our clients before we get into our conversation that it will tie into a blog that you both, along with your colleague, Total Wealth Strategist America's Ainsley Carbone, just authored. The title is Should You Harvest Capital Gains at Today's Rate? Part 2. So it's a continuation of an ongoing conversation. Dan, just to follow up, given developments over the past week, what has President-elect Biden proposed with respect to capital gains tax rate, and how is the implementation of policy contingent on the ultimate composition of Congress, which as of this morning is not 100% known?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Dan. The current capital gains tax rate is 23.8%, and Biden has proposed a capital gains tax rate of 43.4% for taxpayers earning more than $1 million annually. He has also proposed eliminating the step-up in basis that allows descendants to pass capital gains to their heirs without tax. The likelihood of seeing this level of increase in capital gains taxes is unlikely, given the odds that the U.S. will have a split government. It is clear that the Democrats will maintain control of the House even after losing 10 to 11 seats, which puts the focus on the Senate and what changes could get through in terms of tax modification. Our base case is that Republicans hold the Senate seats in North Carolina and Alaska, and they pick up one or two seats in the runoff election in Georgia, which won't be decided until January. This would give Republicans a slim majority and would likely curtail major tax increases. Additionally, it's unlikely taxes will be the Democrats' first priority while they have to focus on the pandemic and the economic recovery when they assume power. Looking down the line, Republicans may be willing to compromise on certain tax increases, given the extent in which we have seen increases in the deficit. This, too, is likely to be contingent on how big those fiscal packages we have over the next year are and the pace of the recovery. If taxes are increased next year, it is possible that the changes would be retroactive to the beginning of 2021. And that's raised the question of whether investors should realize capital gains now or deferring to possibly have a higher rate in the future.
Well, Dan, thank you for providing that backdrop to set the stage for our conversation. Now, Justin, should investors decide to defer capital gains, how can investors determine the length of time before they break even and benefit from doing so?
Thank you, Dan. It's a good question. At the end of the day, this is a matter of compounding of returns. So the dollars that you pay in taxes today at a lower rate would no longer grow in your account. So even if the tax rate goes higher in the future, you're missing out on some growth. So at the end of the day, when it comes to calculating, what's the amount, how long do I need to hold onto this in order to break even with a higher tax rate, is to calculate two factors: the expected return on your investment and the amount that you expect tax rates to increase in the future. The lower the expected return or the larger tax increase that you expect, the longer it'll take you to break even if you reset cost basis now instead of realizing the gains later. So in our recent blog, Should You Harvest Capital Gains at Today's Rate, Part 2, we provided a helpful table that you can use as reference. This will allow investors to evaluate the time that they need to break even from a deferral by comparing expected annual returns versus future tax rates. And we've even highlighted an expected return of 7%, which is, our equity assumption, as well as the proposed 43.4% tax level that Dan mentioned was originally proposed by the Biden campaign.
Thank you, Justin. So, Dan, how might a change in the future tax rate influence an investor's decision to harvest capital gains today?
To Justin's point, it's natural to think that realizing capital gains now at a lower rate may be better than deferring taxes and paying a higher rate in the future. However, you know, generally, when we think about the investment horizon for equities, this is not the case. As an example, you know, let's assume that equities return our capital market assumption of 7%. Even if taxes were raised to 43.4%, which we think is unlikely, an investor who currently has $10 million with a $1 million cost basis would have about 1.7 million additional after-tax dollars 20 years down the line if they chose to defer capital gains versus realizing gains now. You know, the main driver, as Justin mentioned, of the additional return is the time and power of compounding on a larger base of assets. In this scenario, as long as the investor has a time horizon greater than 15 years, with that 7% annualized return, it's better to defer and pay the higher rate later on, and you'll end up with you know, more money in your pocket after tax.
Now, Dan, as a follow-up to that, in the event of a more modest tax rate increase, why would deferring capital gains be a more attractive option?
Well, once again, you know, we're taking less out of that bucket when we look at the differential. So, you know, let's work with another hypothetical here. A more modest tax increase might be something, you know, in between where there'd be a compromise between what Biden wants at that 43.4 and where it is now. That would be about a 10% increase in the taxes, putting the tax rate at 33.6. You know, if we analyze that 33.6 instead of the 43.4 rate that Biden has proposed, in this scenario, the required time to benefit from deferring is reduced from 15 years to just 7 years. And there's also another effect, which is because you are paying lower taxes, you know, if we do compare that an investor with a 20-year time horizon, instead of having, you know, $1.7 million extra after taxes, they would have about $3.2 million after taxes. They'd be that much richer by deferring.
Thank you, Dan. And Justin, as a closing point, maybe you can walk us through some options that investors have for managing concentrated positions or portfolios with large unrealized capital gains.
Thank you, Dan. Certainly, a lot of investors find themselves in this situation, either because they've been successful investors and have accrued concentrated positions, or simply have large unrealized capital gains in their portfolios because we're in the middle of a bear market and stocks are near all-time highs. So in a lot of these positions, it can present a challenge for portfolio management. After all, the estimated tax cost of selling, when it goes higher, it often overwhelms the potential benefit of tactical positioning, stock selection, or even rebalancing. So in our view, there are three main strategies that investors should consider. The first is, it may often make sense to borrow against your securities rather than selling them, especially with borrowing costs so low. This can be an attractive alternative to realizing capital gains taxes. You can use the proceeds of your loan instead of raising cash to meet your daily expenses, or you could reinvest the proceeds to diversify your portfolio away from concentrated positions, for example. And then you can use dividends or other income to pay off the loan over time. This becomes increasingly attractive versus an outright sale as your tax burden from a sale goes up. So as your cost basis and value drift apart over time. If you're in a lower than normal tax bracket this year, for example, and you don't have any realized capital losses, you might also have an opportunity to benefit from the current lower tax rate by taking a few long-term capital gains this year, enough to fill up a lower tax bracket for you yourself. This doesn't have anything to do with the statutory tax rate. This is simply about if your income is less than $248,300 this year, you might be able to pay an 18.8% tax rate or lower on capital gains. Now, the opposite of this, if you do have capital losses, it may, in many cases, not make sense to realize capital gains. After all, up to $3,000 a year of carry-forward losses can be used to offset income taxes, which are taxed at the much higher ordinary income tax rate for most taxpayers. And the remaining losses can be used, rolled forward into the future years to help you defer your capital gains even further into the future. And Dan mentioned earlier that the Biden campaign had proposed eliminating the step-up in cost basis at death. But as long as that remains in place, and it looks like it will remain in place for now at least, some capital gains taxes that are deferred into the future might actually be avoided altogether when the funds are transferred to the next generation. And so it becomes an even more advantageous strategy to defer capital gains into the future because you may not actually have to pay them. And then the last but not least is gifting. If you're planning to make charitable donations, it might make sense to gift some of those appreciated concentrated securities instead of cash. It can help you make your gift go a bit further than selling and then giving the after-tax proceeds to charity. Another important consideration is that since the standard deduction was increased in the 27 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it might make sense to Brady Bunch several years of gifting into a single year. This helps it make it worth for your family to itemize in order to deduct the gifts from your income rather than taking the standard deduction.
Well, Justin and Dan, very helpful and topical conversation this morning as many are in the process of determining what to do with their capital gains. So I'm sure your guidance today will help our listeners and clients navigate wisely through the process. But thank you both for joining us on Top of the Morning today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. And again, today we have been joined by Dan Scansaroli, Head of Portfolio Strategy for the Americas, as well as Justin Waring, Investment Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Again, I do want to point out to our listeners and especially our clients that the blog that Dan and Justin have been referencing throughout the course of our conversation this morning, Should You Harvest Capital Gains at Today's Rate Part 2? And again, that piece was co-authored with their colleague Ainsley Carbone, Total Wealth Strategist for the Americas from the Chief Investment Office, can now be located up on UBS Online Services. Though for our clients listening in, please just reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the blog directly. Top of the Morning will be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.